I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Bless you, buddy. Love you, buddy. Want to see. How do you want to see him? To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. You love him? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Amen and amen. If you want to see him, then that means there's more to be seen. Right? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like, turn in your Bibles. Turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1. And we'll go to Romans 8. Ephesians 1, Romans 8. Now remember, the Lord willing, this coming weekend will be the fellowship meeting, 3:30. Brother Forney will be with us preaching the fellowship meeting and also the weekend for us. So just remember those things and keep us in your prayers. And Wade's over preaching for Brother Burley this morning, so remember him as they're traveling over and back. Amen. Ephesians 1 and Romans 8. Any other announcements? All the announcements are made and everything. All of you sisters know what you're supposed to bring to cook and everything, and to bring everything and to have a good time fellowshipping Saturday. I hope you like the new tile that's installed downstairs. They got it finished, and we will be changing a few other things and painting some things, but we'll do that after the fellowship meeting. But just, if you see a piece of tile that's sticking up a little bit, don't pick it up. Just step your foot on it and mash it down. It's taking time to kind of seat and do, so don't pull it up and try to show it to us. Just step your foot on it and mash it back down, and that'll stick it back to the floor, all right? So that'll solve a lot of problems, amen? All right, but let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you, Lord, and we ask you that you would just, Father, be with it, each and every one of us, and that you'd give us understanding ears that we may hear what the Spirit has to say unto us for this day. We pray that you'd bless each one. Remember the sick among us and just touch each one. You promised it, and we believe it. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So remember each one of these, Lord. Remember the ones that are not here, Brother Don, Brother Tom, Brother George, and these different ones that, and Sister Thomas, Lord, and the ones that are not able to come out and be with us. But we pray that you would bless them exceedingly. And, Lord, have your way with each and every one. We love you and we thank you. As we read your word, Lord, you come and speak to our hearts. And just have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yeah. We've been in Ephesians now for quite a while, but we just keep on because we're still on the adoption and the things. We kind of closed out a little bit on the predestination, and now we're on the adoption in three stages, and also we're trying to make it to, you know, stick with what we've been reading in Ephesians. So if you'd like to follow along, Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. Now we'll go to Romans 8. Again, reading verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as I said, we're trying to speak about adoption. And we gave you the quote there the other day, and Brother Branham says it on the message of Position in Christ, paragraph 163. And I give you the dates on these adoption because there is a difference between the wording they use in the what we were using of, say, one message formality and then the new version that they came out from spoken word and, the Voice of God recording. So I give you the date, all right? That way you can check the date. See, like Brother Joe and I were looking a minute ago on where it says, like Ephesians parallels Joshua. Well, see, in the new version, they don't use that title. They use just adoption 1, adoption 2, adoption 3, adoption 4. All right, if you've got the red composite book, that's the way it's put out. But I give you the date. That way you can check the date of the tape or the book. So the one Position in Christ is preached in 1965-22 in the evening service, that Brother Brown says that asked, do you believe in dispensations? And I know people say, well, we don't believe in dispensations. Well, see, a dispensation is like it's a time set or a time for something to take place or the taking place of that during the time. In other words, it's like setting an order of events. And Brother Brown says on that, he says, now there was a dispensation of Moses. There was a dispensation of John the Baptist. There was a dispensation of the church ages, in other words. And he said there was a dispensation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He said, and now's the dispensation of adoption. See, in the day and the age that we're in. So in other words, this is a time for it. See, this is the time to come to fulfill a dispensation or a time period that will make itself, be made manifest during that part. All right? And that's what I've been trying to tell you and to talk about it. Is we took the life of Jesus Christ and seeing that he came through the stages of adoption and doing that, then we must also come through that or go through that stages also. Now, it's different in the way that he went, but it means the same. That's the point I'm trying to get you to see, because Paul was not telling the Romans what we would want to read and see. He was not telling them, that, you're already Israelites. He wasn't telling them that because adoption pertained to Israel. It was an Israeli custom. It's good to see our visitors back there with us. We always say welcome to you one time, two times, you're part of us. Amen. But, see, it's, in other words, Paul wasn't telling them, he was telling them that you received the spirit of adoption. He wasn't telling them that you know all about adoption. So now your adoption, it took place in your life as an Israeli, as a Jew. That's not what we're talking about. See? Because, see, that was their custom and their ways. See, he wouldn't be saying that you don't need the new birth because you're already an adopted Jew. See, that wasn't it. That's what I've tried to get you to see, the difference between the Old Testament form and the New Testament. See, no one in the Old Testament could receive eternal life. Now, they have to die, go by the grave, wait, or whatever, or be you know, beyond the curtain of time, or whatever you want to call it, in a position, but they never received eternal life until Jesus Christ came and died to release that life. All right? Then they could be taken up to a position to wait, you know, there and all, and they could receive the eternal life there. That's fine to give it to them in the resurrection, but don't give it to them as Old Testament people. Because, see, that was a dispensation, a time that Jesus Christ had not died. But then, see, he comes over, and when he dies, then it's now we're capable of receiving eternal life. And I wanted you to see that about Paul. He calls it the spirit of adoption. See? All right? See, trying to explain to the Romans, now, these Romans are not just totally Gentile, because all of this was basically to the Jews. See? But he was trying to get them, as I said, to see that it's because that they believed in adoption, because they had come to their, and I always mispronounce it, but bar mitzvah, however how you say it, of the thing when they reach a certain age, you know, that is in the natural of the people of Israel. They still do that today. All right? But that, if you went over right now, you wouldn't go up to one of them and say, you've already been adopted into your family, so all you need is a change of the body. Right? You wouldn't say that to them, would you? You'd tell them they need to be born again. Nicodemus had went through those stages, right? And Jesus didn't say, because of you who you are and you've already been adopted. No, that's only an example. Brother Branham, as he's using it, he's using the Old Testament custom of the people of Israel, you know, the Jews, to explain adoption to us. Because that's the same thing Paul's doing. He's not telling them you're already adopted, so that, no. He told them that they, by the new birth, because if you go back and read before then, you know, you said, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ be in you, verse 11, you see, if it raised up Christ, it'll raise you up. So he's talking to people with the new birth. And he's telling them what the things that are to take place, and by receiving that new birth, they have the spirit of adoption, whereby they cry, Abba, Father. In other words, they're in the kingdom of God. Because there was no way to get in the kingdom of God in the Old Testament. See? You got to be born again to be in the kingdom of God. And it could only start on the day of Pentecost. Because it was in Jesus Christ. The kingdom was in him, but it had to be brought into manifestation. All right? So I want to make sure you don't misunderstand then as we go along. See? So then there was a dispensation. See? Of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. There was a dispensation of to where that it was down to different stages of the church ages or a time. But now we're in the dispensation of coming to understand the full measure of understanding adoption. All right? Then it's taught in three stages. All right? See, Jesus Christ had a water baptism, a recognition, an identification, a receiving of the Holy Spirit, not as a new birth. I put that on there because everybody wants to get so confused with it, so they won't link me with somebody else's doctrine. I believe he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we can say that because that's the way the prophet used it. But as an anointing, not as a new birth, but as an anointing for his ministry to go forth, you know, and preach the gospel, because that's what he goes right over immediately. In the book of Luke, you find him saying that spirit came upon him that was Isaiah to fulfill the scripture. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. You know, all right? See, then in that, he had a time of identification. All right? Then he had a time of authority or positionally placing on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the hear ye him came into being. See? And truly then, we'll get to it later. You know how that I've already preached it many, many years to us, to where it says there in Romans, it doesn't say that adoption to redemption of the body. It says the adoption to wit, the redemption of the body, to understand. Right? And truly, Jesus understood the the redemption of the body, because he said what? He said, destroy this body, and in other words, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll bring it up. He understood. He knew what the redemption was about, because he knew that what was said over there at the time is called the River Jordan position at his baptism, to where it says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. And Brother Branham interpreted that, in other words, or translated that into modern day language to say, this is the part of the earth that I have redeemed, and from this part of the earth I'll redeem the rest of it. So Jesus had understanding, to wit, to understand, he knew about the redemption of the body. All right? So I'm not concerned about the body being changed. Me. You know, just like years ago I told you, I said, I've quit trying to go to heaven. And people didn't understand that, you know. Well, what do you mean? You don't want to go? I didn't say I didn't want to go. I said I've quit trying to go. Because that was our point. We always want to go to heaven, go to heaven. Now, I want heaven to come here. Because if God don't come here, I don't go there. See, and that's what I've tried to express to you for many years. So is it with the... I'm not concerned about the redemption of the body. I'm concerned about, to wit, to understand how this body is redeemed. All right? And I believe that we'll come to that eventually in the understanding, because we must have our baptism, not only natural but spiritual. We had our water baptism, and like I told you, if you refuse to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then don't worry about the rest of adoption. You're not even in the stages yet. You're not even in the journey, so just forget it, because you won't follow the word. All right? But see, then we come to this water baptism and the natural, then the spiritual and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, bringing us into the body of Christ, and then we can talk about the hear ye him, the adoption, the authority, and then go on to understand the redemption of the body. Because to me, that's what it's doing. So we're in that dispensation or time to understand. Let's see, Ecclesiastes says it like this. Says it's a time to all things. It doesn't say there's a time for all things. There's a time to all things. All right? See, then this is the time to understand. All right? And that's what I'm trying to get us to bring to that point. But now, this past Wednesday, I know I just got down talking to you. Because, see, I want you to understand so much until it gets on me to the way to try to express it. And I'm sorry if I say something hard, whatever, just lay it to my old ways and ignorance and ever what else, you know, and just say, well, he's just getting old. But I believe if I was you, and Brother Ray could probably verify a lot of it, that he's redoing the tape system for us. And he told me the other day, he said, you're saying the same thing now you're saying then. So I wouldn't go along with that too much. But I'm just saying that I want you to understand. And it doesn't matter to me to take service after service on one point to try to get it to us, because the prophet said, hold that up until the people gets it. Well, bear with me. Maybe it's me. So you bear with me till I get it. All right? Because I want it too. But see, I believe you must be born again to be in the body of Christ. See? Then that way we come to what Paul is saying to the Romans, that if we have the Spirit, verse 11, that raised up Jesus Christ in us, it'll also raise us up. He's linking the whole thing to the new birth. Because the prophet said that's the most important thing in your life, is the new birth. All right? Because we're not even a child of God, other than a natural child by natural creation, that everybody in the world is a natural child by natural creation. Because God's the only one that can give life. Right? But see, then we must be born again to be in the body of Christ. All right? Then being born again, we're just using then the natural story of a child of the Jews, like the prophet is using it. You know, a natural Israeli person who would come through the natural adoption things. And as I said, they're still doing that. We happened to be there, and we happened to view, Brother Dean and Sister Peggy and my wife, we actually viewed about a 13-year-old boy that was going through his part And, you know, we were interested. We didn't run off. We wanted to stay. And I'd like to stay there, probably instead of going on with the guide, but we got in trouble a few times about that anyway, but that's all right. We got through. But, see, Paul is not telling them, let me repeat that. I want you to understand, he's not telling these people here that, oh, you always was eternal. Oh, you always was this. You always was that. You already went through all of these stages of your adoptions and things. And probably a lot of the people that he was talking to was standing there with the full signet ring of their father's adoption. Right? You know, the full authority was invested into them. But he wasn't telling them that. He wasn't saying, you're all right. He, go back and read Romans 8 there down to that. See? He was telling them, by the new birth. See, Brother Branham explains. He said, now the Corinthians had to have it explained to them over and over. But he said, most of the books they didn't have to explain. He said, especially like Ephesians or something. He said, because they understood. Well, see, the Romans could understand certain things. So he was capable of speaking a greater depth to them of this adoption situation and expressing it to them, you know. But he was, remember the one thing that I like what Brother Branham brings out in the book of Hebrews, that Brother Branham says Paul was trying to get it out of those people's minds. See, we've been taught all of our life that Paul, you know, I mean, it was back when we was in a denomination, that Paul was telling them the Lord's coming, just the Lord's coming, Lord, just. No, he was trying to get it out of their mind that the Lord was coming. He said there must be a falling away. There must be these things. See, get it out of your mind. He wasn't telling the Romans here that you're okay. He was telling them the stages they must go through to come to the position that he was trying to speak of. But remember, that could not take place back there before all of this could transpire. We had the falling away. And then you had to have the restoration coming back in the last days in Azusa Street, coming forth with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and bringing the people back into the body of Christ in the correct way. Not it, nobody wasn't in there before, but bringing it back to the three stages. All right. So then we're tying it together. So just get that point in mind. See? So what would the child do now? In the natural story, the prophet explains, and you've read all of it and heard the message and all, that he explains that that child is a child when it was born into the family. But said it was not, didn't have any inheritance. In other words, it didn't have any authority. It didn't have any recognition of those points. But it was in the family. All right. And it was given a tutor to raise it. All right. And he said, now you choose the best tutor you could get. All right. See, then he goes in explaining that what? See, when we receive the new birth, you remember how Wednesday was talking about it? When we receive the new birth, we receive that spirit of adoption, which is the Holy Spirit. That's why it's called the spirit of adoption by Paul. See? We receive the new birth, the spirit of adoption. All right? Because it adopts us into the family. See? We were Gentiles, totally gone, and no lineage, no connection. See? And even the natural Jew couldn't get into the kingdom of God because he was born a natural Jew. He had to be born again to get into the kingdom of God. You'd be surprised how many people of the message don't understand that, because you listen to them preach it. Like one big man said one time, and I heard him, I wouldn't say it. He said, I don't believe in dispensations. Well, you, Brother Brown said, you're sure out of the Bible if you don't. No, I mean, so, you know. But, of course, everybody wants to say what they want to. That's their business. But now listen. See, we must have the new birth to bring us into the family of God. All right? That would be then like that natural baby back there as the example. As the natural Israelite would be brought into the family by his natural birth. See, we're brought into the family by the spiritual birth, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the prophet said God gave us the best tutor he could get. He said he gave us the Holy Spirit. All right, now I've tried to say this, and most of you know it, and you know what I'm fixing to say, but I've been at this for over 30 years on it, 40 years going on it. See, the way I look at what most people teach of adoption, it's the father just going off the scene, and he's never seen anymore, he's just disappearing, you know. And really, here comes the son. Boy, he's strutting on, you know. I just don't understand that. Because I thought that the Holy Spirit and the Father was the self-same Spirit, as I said Wednesday, or the prophet said, Jesus had two daddies. Because he said the Holy Ghost was his daddy, and he said his Father was his daddy. So he'd have two daddies, or something's wrong. So it'd have to be the same Holy Spirit. So look what I'm talking about. The Father picked the best tutor he could get. Why? He came himself to dwell in us. Now come on, that's how much do we need where Brother Brown said he didn't even send a son to die in his place? Said he came himself. All right. See, then the Holy Spirit is not another spirit different from God. It's God's own spirit dwelling in us. He's wanting his nature in us. So he's coming in us to start the thing. Maybe forgive me for language like that, but God, because I don't know how no other way of saying it, but it's a pretty good point. That's the way to get it started. Bring us into the family by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then that is the Spirit of the Father that's within us. We're talking about adoption. It's talking about getting the nature of the Father, right? Well, look behind me at the stature of a perfect man. See? I thought that was to bring us into the nature of the Father. I thought faith, virtue, and all this temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and all was the nature of the Father being brought into us. I thought that's what adoption was. See? That's why it took Brother Branham 30-something years. Now, this is a quote from Stature of a Perfect Man. He said 30-something years before he could preach the Stature of a Perfect Man. Not that he wasn't preaching it, going back in there and getting like 1956 and all like that and listen to an intervale where he's talking about the nature of the Father. He'd always preached it, but this nailed it down, see? In other words, he saw how to bring it into view. All right? But you see, then he gives us the tutor. But the tutor is not another person separate from God. The tutor is the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Almighty God. He comes in you and I to bring forth His nature. No more, as I said, than He sent a son to die in His place. No, He came Himself. The new birth is not another spirit separate from God to come and live in you. It's God's own Spirit. His own soul, His own being. The prophet would say, in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right. See, to make us a child of God. See? So it's not the Father going off the scene. Adoption is the Father coming on the scene in His Son. Whether it would be where He was walking on the shores of Galilee Himself in flesh, or whether it be in His bride around the world. We are His offspring. We are God made manifest in another form called a bride or a wife. You know. See? But we're Him, not another person. He wasn't, I like Brother Richard Wilson, he's always saying it his way, said he wasn't a second person, he wasn't a third person, and he's quoting Brother Randall, that he's not even the first person. See, if he is the first person, that could mean you had another person. Brother Randall said he is the person. Well, that's just old oneness. Well, I'll just stay with it, so you go on what you want to. Because I sure do really love it like it is, all right? But now, listen. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God coming into you and I to bring a new birth, and it is not another spirit that God is sending. See? Because Jesus, how long do we need to stay on it? Jesus said, I and my Father are coming to take up our abode in you. Right? It's expedient that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. See? All right. See, then we're sticking with the point of understanding. See? Understanding the true revelation of one God.
See?
But now watch. See, as I said, comparing the life of Jesus Christ with the bride of Christ, and comparing that with the natural adoption. That's what I'm trying to do. Because in the natural adoption, they never went on to understand the redemption of the body, right? They could just go from the baby and the, coming into the family and then the authority going with it. It doesn't go on. You understand? So when you're talking about comparing something, like Brother Brown said, comparing the church ages with the seals. See, you can't parallel the church ages and the seals. Because if you do, you've only got four seals and the rapture's gone. See, you'd have to do it. You can't do it. So you compare. Compare means to put them side by side and look at this and look at that and see how they're bringing forth, you know, something in similarity. Because as I said, Jesus didn't need the new birth. See? But we must have it. See? So that would be a difference in us, but we're comparing it to understand and bring it down to that place. All right. So then the baptism of the Holy Ghost, being the Spirit of God, that is what brings us into the family. Huh? The Spirit of God brings us into the family, placing into us the tutor, the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Almighty God. Huh? So Brother Brown says, you have in you, by the new birth, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In the new birth. He said, well, I don't understand that. Well, I don't either, but I just say what the prophet said. All right. I do believe that much of it to where I can say it. All right. See, then the Spirit of adoption, see, as I said, he's saying to the Romans that you have the Spirit of adoption, whereby you're crying, Abba, Father. See, not telling them, I keep repeating that where you'll remember it, not telling them because they were natural-born Jews that they were already in the family of God. Because the New Testament is the family of God. The Old Testament, read your Bible. They're always called servants. You better go back and read your Bible a little bit. They're always called servants. They were the servants. They were not the children of God. You say, well, they were the family of God. Well, that's just as a church, as an example, as a type. But they wasn't in the family of God like we are. All right. See, then the Spirit of adoption is this tutor coming to raise or teach us the nature of the Father. See? Then the Holy Spirit couldn't be another person. So you can't have the Father and the Holy Ghost two different persons. See? It's got to be the same person. That's what that man told me down at work one day. He said, well, I like the way you talk and everything. What he was a Mormon, and excuse me, Jehovah's Witness. And he said, I see now that really that you understand that there's just two of them. I said, well, that's not exactly the way I see it, but you did get rid of one of them. You know, I said, why don't you just get rid of one more and me and you be talking? You know. Because we have an understanding, but that was just my point. All right. Now, I want to get this into you. And forgive me for just being blunt and talking like I did Wednesday, but it, when it bears on you, you've got to get rid of it. So forgive me of just being plain. I tried to explain something this past Wednesday. And explaining that, I told you to please listen to that tape over and over. And to not make a decision, in other words, until you get to the end of the tape. Because at the end of the tape, I was explaining it, that when we're born again, we're babies. I don't care how big you are, how old you are, how grown you are, how much knowledge you got. I've explained it to you. I had a very, very, decent amount of understanding of the Bible before I came into the message, because that was what I'd done. I read and studied it, you know, and all. And then 2 years into the message, before I received the new birth, and all I was doing was reading and studying the message of the hour. But I didn't call that the new birth. Just because I left the Baptist church and come into the message and you know, and believe in Brother Branham was a prophet, I didn't call that the new birth. Because to me it was not. I knew that that was not right. All right. But then I watched people all the way down through in my life. And the way I see it, most people are trying to bring, and I'll get down in a minute to the quote. They're trying to make some form of rule or doctrine or what would you call it, something of this message. And each little group has its way of saying it, you know, and you just listen to them and you'd be surprised. You'll see that there's people in this message that still believe that tongues is the evidence. And then they'll turn around and say, well, I know Brother Branham didn't say that now. And I know he didn't teach, but I believe it. That I believe it, you see. And they still believe that. All right? Because it's not been revealed to them what's going on. Right. But there's people that believe in the message, see, that if you just dress right, live right, and do right, that you're ready to go out of this world. Well, now, there's people in this world that are a whole lot better off than we are, and live better and act better. And you can't argue that point. All right. There's good Catholics that live better lives than you and I. I don't mind talking that away, because it's the truth. Well, no, brother. Well, see, that's where you don't understand me. But you see, what I think most people think is that here we are, and what we need to do, we need to preach on hire and dress and clothes and, you know, men this away and the women that away and get rid of this and get rid of that. And, oh, we're ready. Well, now, I admit that that'd make good people. I admit that. I believe that. You know. But Brother Brown said, you sisters don't think because you got long hair and dresses that makes you right. Now, come on. See, if you're born again, and then that comes forth, then wonderful. Wonderful. See, now you're right. But babies start off as babies. Looking around to see what other people are doing. Babies don't look at their own selves to see what they're doing. They don't learn looking at their self. They don't stand in the mirror and flex their muscles, as I said, you know, to try to do like Arnold Schwarzenegger, however you pronounce his name, you know. See, they look at other people. And they'll copy other people. They watch other people. But when you're born again, you're a babe in Christ. And you watch what everybody's doing. Now, you don't grow in grace and knowledge and get where you can look over what people's doing. I didn't teach that. I ain't never taught it. I've taught it if you and I grow in grace and knowledge, we can get to the place to look over, not to look over it. Because it's not right to go out and do wrong. That's where you get misunderstood. See, somebody cut it off. Don't listen to what you're saying. Babies look at what people do and judge by what they do. And you know, in a way, that's a good point. And you know, babies have a right to do that. Because I've always said it. If I saw you slap your child for smoking a cigarette and you stand there smoking one, I might just get a little bit, my righteous indignation might get up a little bit and I might kick in the shin. I'm just honest. You say, you get mad? No, I wouldn't get mad. I'd just get even with you because there's no need of acting like that. You're supposed to live before your children the way you want your children to live. And not whip them for doing something you're doing and say, you ain't going to do what I done. Well, quit doing what you done. I never done my children that way. Never have and I never will. To whip them for something that I'm doing myself. But I wanted them to live right. Well, you start living right yourself because they're watching you, okay? But now listen, see, in doing it, I know it gets to the point, but the way I see most people preach about adoption, I've listened to them what little bit I could hear, because most people don't deal with it, but most of them think that if we could preach long enough on dresses and hiring clothes, that people would get adopted. Well, I don't believe that. It's just like I've always told you. I believe if a 7 billion people in the world today, and if every person in the world had the baptism of the Holy Ghost and was where the faith of the fathers was at, there would still not be a change of the body. Whether you believe that or not, it would be a good world to live in, but it still wouldn't be the change of the body because it took the message, or else why did the prophet bring it? All right. Well, the same way of what I'm talking about. We can preach, and we can preach about do's and don'ts and things. And that's good. There's people that's their point of preaching. That's their doings, you know. But where will that ever bring us to the position to understand adoption? It won't do it. It's never done it yet. All right. And I wrote it down the best that I know how to write, and I'm sorry. See, what I saw people do, they try to beat the people into a place of try to beat the nature of the Father into you. Now, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in it natural. I don't believe in beating the nature of a father into a child. I believe in whipping the child. Yes, sir. And I believe you're wrong if you don't. See, that's just the way I am. Not kill them. Get you a good little hickory and spank them, and they'll understand. And that tries to help them make their nature right. But that ain't going to beat your nature into them. You better remember one thing. Your nature is displayed, as I kept saying, over and over daily before them. If you want your children to act like you're supposed to act. Is that plain enough? Everybody understand what I mean? You live before them the way you want them to live. Then you can say, well, the child is acting just like the father or the mother. See, and that's wonderful. All right? But you can't beat it into them. And you can't beat the nature of God into anyone. I'm not talking about a stick beating. I'm talking about taking doctrines and ideas and concepts about clothes and hair and dresses and stuff like that, and just preach that and preach that and just preach that and just preach that and just preach. Well, when they get lined up with that, we'll preach the deep things, but we better stay away from them deep things. Yeah. But see, you can't beat the nature of the Father into the children. See? All right? But why not do what the prophet, as I said, had to do? It took him 30-something years to preach the stature of perfect man. Now, did he just ever service from then on? And I'm making a point, so listen. Did he ever service from then on just preach? We need this. We need that. We got to have this. We got to have that. We got to have this. We got to have that. Was that his message? No. He went on to preach the doctrines of the Bible. The truth of the Bible. Not man's doctrines. We've done confused it enough like it was. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about he started preaching the Word. Because he knew that only through the revealed Word would we be able to ever attain unto anything. All right? That's all I'm trying to get you to see. See, why not preach the Word? Bless God, we preach it. Yeah, that's about like that old man was that said, they said something to him, said, well, why don't you preach on something besides Acts 2:38? Repent, everyone, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, well, give me a scripture. So a man told him, said, okay, here it is, John the Baptist standing down there. And he got an axe in his hand. He said, well, that's wonderful. A brother wants me to preach on that. He said, I can do it. He said, because John was standing down there with an axe in his hand. Now, why did he have that axe in his hand? The only reason I know he had that axe in his hands where he could cut away out into the river where he could baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? He couldn't get away. That's all he could preach was Acts 2:38. There was a time for that. There was a dispensation for those things. There's a dispensation of where you're learning of the message. There's a dispensation of all kind of things. And a time for that. But now listen. But see, most ministers try to make you live up to a certain set of codes or doctrines. Instead of preaching the Word of God. All right? Now let's see what the prophet said. Let's see if that's what he said. Okay? The message called It's Rising the Sun, 1965, 418, the morning service, page 11. Look what he said. Okay, let's read it. Now, the very essence of the message that was sent, that he is risen from the dead. We, his beneficiaries, we who share the resurrection with him, draw benefits from this by proving to the world that he is alive. We cannot do it by word only. We cannot do it by some tradition of man. We only reflect exactly what we're pointing to. I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting... Now, he didn't leave himself out, so you do what you want to with it. Oh, he was just trying to be humble. Well, okay, he's humble. I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to a church, to a theory, but we must get them to Christ. He is the only one and the only one that has life. All right? So we're not getting the people to Christ. We're getting them to a doctrine, an idea, or a thought, or a concept. He goes on down to number 2, Power of Decisions, page 55, 1007. And that one's where he's explaining about the people being just hungry, licking your lips, a different thing. That's what's the matter with the church today. It's anemia. I guess I pronounced that correctly. Which means you need something to eat. Because they're not getting enough spiritual food. If they got the Bible, brother, it would put the blood of Christ into the veins of the believer. New life. Life comes from the blood. Amen. The anemia condition of the church. Pitiful. Pale-cheeked. My. We need a transfusion to start us off. Amen. All right. Now, what do we need? The word. Okay. Going beyond the camp, 1964-0719, the evening service. More and more I am made to believe that people are not getting to Christ. Now, I'm here to try to help in every way that I can and make my statement as clear as I know how to make them. And you suffer with me, if you will. As I look and preach across the nation and watch the people, I'm fully persuaded that the people are not getting to Christ. I believe that it's the enemy that strode this hindrance. Because the reason I believe this, he is not the object that they had been pointed to. Now that means Christ. It's not Satan. All right. They have either been pointed to a dogma or doctrine or a party or experience or a sensation or something like that, instead of being pointed to Christ the Word. That's why I think that people are resting their eternal destination upon some dogma or some sensation. Like some say, I danced in the Spirit or I spoke with tongues. I felt fire run over me. And do you know that all those things can be impersonated by the devil? There's just one thing that he cannot impersonate. That's the Word. Right. Now, what is he saying? We're not getting the people to Christ. Christ is the revealed Word. Okay? Christ is the revealed Word. The letter of the word is not Christ. Christ is the revealed word. All right? So now, keep that in mind of what he's saying. And he's saying we're not getting them to Christ. We're getting them to some sensation, some thoughts or ideas. All right? Now, if your dependence this day is upon the fact that you shouted, spoke in tongues, cried, whatever you done, the prophet read these points, you read them over. If you're dependent upon that to say you have the new birth, Satan can impersonate all of it. Okay? Well, you're destroying my only hope. I'm not destroying anything because I've never told you not to believe that. I believe a lot of people received the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues. I believe a lot of people received the Holy Ghost and shouted. I believe a lot of them cried. I believe a lot of them this, that, and the other. I believe in that. But I don't believe that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues, shouting, whatever you're doing. That's like the baby. Get the baby here first, and then the baby cries. The birth of the baby is one stage. The next stage is the crying and effect. But if your dependence is totally upon some sensation, Satan can impersonate it. All right? See, and I wish to God, I've always told you this. You say, well, Brother Dale, you'll empty the church preaching that people need to be born again. Well, if I do, then you know what it means. They're not born again. That's problem solved, stage one. But listen. See, I believe the new birth is the birth of the Word. But then the sensations and the feelings and the signs, the wonders and the things you're doing and what you're saying, that's what follows after the birth of the Word. But you see a person that's living like the devil, and then they claim these experiences, and then they go on living like the devil. There's something wrong. Get the baby changed, in other words. And then start on those things. But Brother Dale, I believe the message. Well, amen. Yeah. But don't you think that the devil believes the message? Does that mean he's born again? No, see? No, that doesn't make it, see? We've got to have more than just some sensation or porn or thought. We've got to have the birth of the Word to be a child of God, all right? He said, but I'm fully persuaded we're not getting them to Christ. Huh? No. But what are we getting them to? See? I gave you there one on Door and Doors that the world will be judged by Christ and He's the Word. Now the world won't be judged by a Thompson chain, Schofield. That's not exactly the way I look at it. It's going to be judged by the Word, and Christ is the Word. I thought we believed that we would sit there with Him and would judge the people that come forth. I thought the bride would be sitting with Him in judgment. And see, then a person can't deny, anything because you're sitting there. And flash in their mind would come back to the point to where you tried to help them and explain it to them. See? All right? And then they can't argue the point because there is the living Word. All right? Now, Brother Branham, I believe, is saying what? We're not getting them to the alive person of the Word, which is Christ. See? But the letter of the Word, as I've always told you, has to be correct. That was why the prophet had to come to bring us to that place. All right? See? But now, see, people must be fed the Word, not the ideas of mankind. Because ideas of mankind only produce more ideas of mankind. I don't like that today, they'll say, and I know what's meant by it, I know it, but, they'll say, what's your input on this? Well, I don't have no input. Input means I'm putting something in. And I didn't think we were supposed to put anything in. I thought we were supposed to draw out the Word from God. I didn't think He needed us to interpret or do anything. He just needed us to stay with what He said and believe it. All right? But you see, it's going to be judged by Christ, who is the Word. The alive Word is what's going to judge people. So then that's what we are here. As the children of God, we are the alive Word. See? But now, see, we try to make some idea or some thought. See? And forgive me, but I listen to people and I hear them, and I hear them never mention the revelation of the Word, but, oh, yes, they read the Word. Yes, they read the quotes. Yes, they read the things of the prophet. But where are they talking about the Word made alive in you? Where they're talking about God coming down and changing your nature? I thought we were supposed to have a nature change, and I thought then even that after the new birth, that was what we were to receive, a total nature change. That there was still something, some things wrong with us, that we needed the stature of a perfect man. We need the adoption. But to do that, we must have the revealed Word. Yeah. All right. But you see, You take and forgive me. But you see why in the message that you see people constantly changing churches. And I'm not against you changing churches and coming here. And I'm not against you changing churches if you leave and go somewhere else. I've explained that to you. The only thing I ask you to do, if you find more word somewhere else, please come back and give us some contact with us. You know, at least make contact where we can go with you or do something. You know, because I want the word. All right. But you see, that's why people are constantly changing. It's just like you take you notice a cow, and you see a cow out in the pasture. You know, if they knee-deep grass, you don't never see around at the side of the fence with their head stuck out on the side of the road trying to eat the grass. Right? Now, am I right? But if you see the pasture to where there's nothing in it, with old ragweeds and stuff growing up and bitter weeds and things, you see the cow sticking her head through the fence. See? All right? Am I right now? But if there's a beautiful pasture out there, it's fertilized field and everything, you know, and it's all growing, they're not around the fence. Now, do you understand what I mean? If people are fed the word, they're not out hunting for the word. They're not sticking their head through the fence. But if you don't have enough for people to eat, then they'll go stick their head through the fence. And that's what I kind of believe preachers are, that they're afraid to let somebody else come in and preach because they might preach two bales of hay when they ain't never preached but one to them themselves. Now, you know what those carnal illustrations mean, don't you? They just preach little sugar tip things and little small things, line up and get your clothes right, and somebody comes in and just takes and, man, that you know, just takes and just dumps a whole load on you. And, man, you just find out that there's all kind of grains and wheat and corn and all that you can just eat and just, you know. Well, no wonder the cattle want to leave and go somewhere else where they get something to eat. All right? Why? Because you get a little taste of it. That's what the preachers are afraid of. They're afraid to let somebody come in because they're afraid they'll lose a bunch of people. And you know that's true, so there's no need of arguing with it. It's not a point to argue, see? But now listen. As a majority, I just wrote it this way, so I read it. As a majority around the message, most of the ministers are not trying to hand out spiritual food. They're trying to build churches, they're trying to build programs, they're trying to do things, and that's their business. We don't have nothing to do with it, see? All right? And in doing that, see, they're not feeding their people. And you see a lot of them running about the country and become evangelists on the field, you know, and going off and preaching, and they lose a lot of people because of that. Well, see, but then two or three of them will come back, and they really just rejoice because, you know, they think, well, they finally learned their lesson, you know, and I'm right anyway, but that's nothing to me. Ain't going to help me one bit. I'm just making a point. Do you believe, you know the point's right? In other words, you know the point's right. I'm just making a point. See? All right? But when you see somebody that has really tried to preach or to keep a, you know, keep the pasture up in real good shape to where the cattle can have plenty of food, plenty of water, you know, you don't have much trouble of people running around. We've had very little problems of people leaving for other things. And, you know, some have left and all like that. But not a one of them will come back and say it was because of the word. Because everybody says Lula ain't nothing but word, 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 word. Well, that's thank God for that. That's all I've ever believed, that it's word, word, word. But I want it revealed. See, but we got to get it planted in the field. All right? Now, see, that's why I've tried my best to preach to you the message. And not just preach every service, you know, on clothes and dress and hair. Because I seen years ago that wouldn't do it. I told you, I asked Brother Moat when he preached the Stature of Perfect Man. I asked him, I said, okay, now how do we get these things? And see, the Lord spoke to me later and said, by the opening of the word, And I gave it back to you at the end of the message. The prophet said, with the restoration of the word will come restoration of power. All right. Could I believe with that word being revealed is what we're to feed on? And that's what we've been doing for 40-something years. All right. Now, think about it. See, we say, but we've preached one God. We've preached serpent seed. We've preached predestination. We've preached adoption. But you know, if you're just think with me, just a simple illustration, all right? I wouldn't ask for a raise of hands, but how many maybe in adoption, the series, just learn something you didn't know before? All right? You know, something was revealed to you of the one God, the water baptism. Do you realize it couldn't have happened before now? Now, come on. I thought we believed in predestination. I thought you was listening when Brother Dale was preaching when I said the word is what comes predestinated eternally, and there's a word for this age. Right, Brother Gary? So if there's a word for this age and that word ain't been revealed to Brother Gary, then we can't leave. But get the point of what I'm saying. You do at least say God has revealed something to you recently, right? All right? See, then if he's revealed something to you recently, not maybe me preaching or anybody, whatever, just God revealing. You know that the time couldn't take place because there was a dispensation that was waiting for that to take place. And if there's more to be revealed, there's more word to be made alive. Then the change won't come until the word is completely finished that's to be made alive. There's their thing. It's the preaching of the word that's supposed to bring us up the stature of a perfect man. It's the preaching of the word that's supposed to bring the nature of the Father. Because I thought, I gave you a quote in there where that God was his word. Now, if he's his word, then that's what I want revealed. See? And if there's something to be revealed to us, then it won't take place until that's finished being revealed. Yeah. Is that sensible? Yeah. You shouldn't need anything to help you understand that. See? But you know yourself that I've brought in people to try to help you understand instead of trying to keep them away. Because I want you to understand, and I know and realize sometimes that I'm one that knows for certain that Brother Dale's not all of the fivefold ministry. I know that for certainty. I believe in the fivefold ministry. And I've tried to bring them in to help you. Right? And to help me. Because, you know, I learn. And I go listen to the fivefold ministry. Because remember, that's what we're to do. All right? But not just pound people about something, but preach the gospel. The scripture says the gospel is what? The power of God unto salvation. Is that scripture? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Well then, why have we not tried to preach the gospel? Well, of course, everybody says they have. Right? All that those that just still preaching 40 years ago, they're preaching hiring and dress and clothes. They're still preaching hiring and dress and clothes. Me? They say they're preaching the gospel. Well, why didn't Brother Branham, as I said, why didn't he just stop on the stature of a perfect man and just stay there preaching the stature of a perfect man over and over for the next 3.5 years? Or 3 years, somewhere a little after. No, he went on into the preaching of the word. Because he saw and realized the only way that we would be able to come to it would be what? As he said, this messenger Malachi 4 is to do two things. What? Turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. Number one, right? He said, and bring us the revelation of the thunders, which is revelation contained in the seven seals. And these would be the things that would literally turn our hearts back. So he knew he had to go on preaching it and bring the message to us, right? See? And that's all I've tried to do. See? Not pound on you, but try to preach unto you. Because preaching unto you the nature of the Father by the revealed word will bring the nature of the Father in you when it's revealed to you. because it's not going to do it for pounding. It's not going to take place that way. All right? You say, well, Brother Dale, give me scripture for that. Give me scripture for the fact that you believe that, that through the opening of the word will bring these things to pass. Well, okay, then if you'll look over in Romans 10, you'll find that the scripture says what? 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right? And we know the scripture said that it's revealed from what? Faith to faith. See? All right? Then listen then. If you believe that we become a child of God by the revealing of the word, which is what Brother Branham said on number 5 on your notes there, of paragraph 71, Patmos Vision, 1960, 1204, the evening, says you're saved by revelation, and says the only way you can be saved is by revelation. He said, other than that, you got an intellectual. See? So if you can't be saved only by revelation of the word of God, then you see why I believe, and I believe that is true. See, then you see why did I believe that a child can only grow into the nature or character of the Father by the revealing of the nature of the Father by the revealed word. I believe that's what's taking place. I believe the seals, the things like that, is revealing the nature of the Father. See? Unto us by the revealed word. See? But see, people are saying, but Brother Dale, we preach these things. Well, all right. But is it fully revealed? Yeah. Has it produced the nature of the Father? All right. That's just as plain as it can be. Could it be we've tried to preach our own ideas about these things and call it revelation? Yeah. You say, but I don't believe Brother Dale in preaching them deep things. You'll get all confused and you'll confuse the people. No. The people are already confused. You're not going to get confused reading the Word of God. You're not going to get confused studying this message. You're not going to get confused hearing somebody preach or the deeper things of the message. You are already confused. It's exposing our confusion. See? All right? See? I gave you some quotes where Brother Brown said you must be born again. He said it's not sensations and things like that, but you must be born by the Word. Born by the Word. Conflict. 1962, 531, number 8 on your note. You're born by the Word. Read these real good. And listen to what your prophet has to say. Do you see what I'm trying to get you to see now? I'm asking you, do you see what I'm trying to get you to see? I'm not asking you to believe me. I never have asked you to do that. See, if we teach the Word of God to the people, then the Holy Spirit can make it alive. Right? Now, it's up to the fivefold ministry. Now, did your prophet make these statements? He said, I break these down as big nuggets. He said, it's up to the fivefold ministry to break it down to where it can be explained to the people. Now, I didn't make them statements. Your prophet made it. All right. But see, the Bible says the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints until we all come to the unity of the faith. All right. Now, so then we must have a fivefold ministry. Well, Brother Dale, what about these people? See, everybody wants to make an excuse now. What about these people that where they can't get to a preacher? Well, you got a problem now because you can get an internet. A few years ago, may have been a problem. See, God just takes them out of the way with what's called, you know, science and new things. And he just brings things to where you can just turn on a computer and you can just listen to people. Right? So there's no excuse now. Well, we just can't get together where, you know, it's too far. Yeah, and you got $100,000 laying in a bank account that the world's going to fix to take away from you, but you ain't going to spend it going to church. Yeah. That's all right. None of my business. I ain't never asked for nobody no money. Yeah. People are surprised when they do on the internet and come back to us and we say, no charge. Yeah, but we want to do it. No charge. Why? Because we're not trying to get rich. We're trying to spread the gospel. And you know the reason why I told you here a while back, we're trying to spread it because these preachers ain't going to preach it. So I just opened up and said, okay, loosen it up and let it go on the internet. And then who wants to hear can hear. Call me anything you want to. But there's a lot of people listening today around the world. And I hope that it's helping them. And I've never asked one of them for a dime and never told none of them to call me their pastor. I've always directed them back to their pastor. But you know what Brother Branham said? He said, if your pastor won't preach the truth, what'd he say do? Now, what'd he say do? Come on. Somebody tell me what Brother Branham said do. He said, get away from him. Thank you. So you know he said it. Hmm? Well, you're just trying to bust up churches. I'm trying to get the word out. That's all I've ever tried to do. See, because we have the inside teacher, but Brother Branham says that the Holy Spirit is sitting in you, waiting on you to bring him the word. Well, I thought he knowed the word. See, that's where you don't understand. You ain't been taught for 40 years the truth of understanding. You're still thinking, well, I thought the Holy Ghost knows everything. We don't need no teachers because we got a teacher inside of us. The prophet said, why did he put teachers in the body? Now, I wrote it like this. See? Brother Branham said, on the message, Ephesians parallels Joshua. You've heard that over and over and over. That's 19:65-15, the evening service, where you'll know what it is. Number 10 on your notes. Yeah. He said, preaching catches the sinner. Now listen. But he said, teaching positionally places you in the body. Okay, now. Of course, the teacher, he wants to strut right there, don't he? But I'm going to just clip the strut out from under you. Because I don't believe it. You call me a teacher. I don't believe that I'm the only one that can teach. I believe the fivefold ministry that is called of God. All right? Everybody know what I'm saying? The true fivefold ministry that is called of God, each one of them is capable of teaching in the capacity of their office. So Brother Branham didn't label just the teacher here. He didn't say just that. Read what he's saying. He said teaching positionally placed you. He didn't say the teacher positionally placed you. He said teaching positionally places you. He didn't label it down to hearing one person. It's a fivefold ministry, and each one is supposed to be able to teach in the capacity that they're in. So teaching positionally places you, whether you're sitting under a pastor today and that pastor's teaching you the word, then you're exactly right in what the prophet's saying. But then there is a teachers that are in the body of Christ that, you know, that the prophet said nobody can touch the teacher. Now, he did label that. Did he say those things? Nobody can touch the teacher. Now, he put it there. He didn't say nobody can touch the teaching. But here he's saying nobody can, that the teaching of the word is what positionally places you and I. So the fivefold ministry is called for the perfecting of the saints according to the scripture until we come to the unity of the faith. That's why I believe in the fivefold ministry. That's why I bring in people to try to help you, the fivefold ministry. See, because I know, as I said, I know and realize that I can't do it all by myself and it can't be done. See? So you bring in somebody, you try to get somebody to help. See? Because that'll bring you to the place. All right? And we'll go with one that he did say. The last one I gave you. If you looked at the last one I gave you. I didn't say this. He said, you'll never live no higher than your pastor. He said, you'll never live no higher than your pastor. Well, Brother Dale, this means we got to depend on... Yeah, that's exactly right. That means we got to depend on somebody. But you know, this is one pastor that knows he's got to depend upon the other fivefold ministry. I've got to hear. Faith don't come by reading. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. In other words, a prophet would say, hearing then by the revealed word that some preacher stands forth and preaches unto you. See? All right. So I believe that was placed correctly. I don't know what you think about it, but it's teaching that positionally places you. Not the teacher. But then to reject the teacher is what's wrong with a lot of people, that they can't teach themselves. Simple. But that ain't going to get me no opportunities to go anywhere and preach, and I'm not going to do it. That don't worry me. That's why I opened up the internet, because I've told you before, see, I thought Wade would be able to go. I thought these other ministers would be able to carry the message. Because I realized what they were thinking about me, intellectual, all this, that, and the other. But that's their business. I don't get offended at anybody because of that. I thought Wade could go and carry the message, but see, he's not much popular more than I am, but... Because I've never taught you anything like that. I've tried my best, and you come and show me where I've missed it. You come show me where I've ever taught anything the prophet didn't teach. That's an open challenge to the world. That's why we haven't got into all these doctrines of two souls, seven thunder virtues, parousias, the River Jordans, the no Holy Ghost doctrines, the Son of Man's, and all of these other things. Because we've just simply just tried to cluck along here, and the fivefold ministry here has been a wonderful help to me. You know, the ministers here to help me to understand and help preach to me, and you know, and I thank God for them. You know, because they've been a help to me, and that's what I depend on. But see, I don't believe that preaching this little things is going to bring the bride to perfection. Let's stand. Come on, brothers, musicians. It's not going to do it. It's going to take the preaching of the word. Well, that's what I've always believed. That's what I've always tried to teach you. Because I didn't put it, it's on the evening message where Brother Ryan said, with the restoration of the word comes restoration of power. Well, you want power. Yeah. Like I've told you, I've sat and talked with ministers. I've listened to people over the years. There's a group goes that way, and they say, we got everything when we believed, good Baptist doctrine. They said they believe the message. They got the Holy Ghost. They got everything. The other group goes this way and says, we ain't got nothing. Well, I want to be somewhere in between there. You know, to hold on to the Word of God and believe what we've got, and don't deny what God has done among us. We have seen the sick healed, the dead raised. We've seen rain come. We've seen rain leave. We've seen storms spoken out of existence. We've seen all kind of things. Stand here all afternoon and talk about them. That's documented to where that, like we stood and walked right out here when they said the war started in Kuwait. You remember that? I walked right out here from the back room. And I said, according to what God just revealed to me, we're not ready yet. Because, see, Kuwait was right there so close to Israel, because that could cause a war just like that with Israel. Had Israel jumped their bombs on Kuwait, we would have been in a world war. But they refrained. They got kept them from doing it. But I said, we can pray because God showed me we're not where we're supposed to be. So we can pray and ask God to bind all the forces of the enemy and that they will not be able to use their forces against us. They were buried in the ground waiting on us to pass over them. And then they were going to just run right up behind us and trap us and all kind of things. But the Russians forgot to tell them that to bury those tanks in the ground meant the moisture would build up and they'd rust and wouldn't work. We lost more people by our own friendly fire in Kuwait than we did by the enemy. Why? Because I believe that the Lord told me to come out here and let's do that. And I didn't just say it. I said it. And I said, now let's pray. And that happened. See, those are documented. Just don't have to worry about it. I mean, we're not talking about something that ain't documented. But you see, all I want to do is preach the word. And God, he'll have to reveal it because we can't reveal it anyway. Go ahead, brother.
597.
597. Anybody have a need? Think on these things. Full of glory, oh, the hat has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved in its joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing I am saved from the awful guilt of sin. Unspeakable and full of glory, for the hat has never yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see his smiling face. Can you? Joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. Anybody have a need while we sing that last verse? A lot of glory, oh, the hat has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how it waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well, bringing up within my soul. You're dismissed. Remember the service this evening. The unspeakable and full. Father, just bless the people. And be with us as we go eat a natural meal. Bring us back together in your love in Jesus' name.
Unspeakable and full of glory, oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the